Hey cuties, this is Deidre C.
Hey cuties, it's Jay Nicole.
And welcome to the Queen Team Podcast.
A place to cultivate your queendom.
So what's been going on, Janisha? How you been doing?
I am good. We had so much fun on Saturday.
Yes.
Going to nature school, as you call it.
Yes. Every week with my son, I'm homeschooling him. We have nature school where we spend a day literally in nature. There's a nature preserve about half an hour away from where we live. It's a completely different landscape. It's just up the mountain a little bit. And they get four seasons and the colors change and sometimes they even get snow.
Yeah.
And so we've been visiting on a weekly basis to see how the seasons play out in that environment and to enjoy it and see how things are growing and changing. And it's spring
yes,
at the nature
so
preserve.
Beautiful.
And we went up there just to take our kids to be out in that space.
Yeah.
And I didn't even realize there's a part of the preserve called the Artist's Palette.
Mm.
And all of these beautiful wildflowers were in bloom. And it was just so gorgeous.
Yeah.
So filling to the spirit. And, you know, five kids
yeah.
between the ages of 2 and 9.
Yeah.
There was not one argument.
No.
Not one disagreement. Sometimes, you know, when you're playing with toys and all these things, it's mine and he said, she said, and he hit me and that, and he and her, she hit me. None of that.
Yeah.
The kids were just also at peace and enjoying the environment. And even, I feel like I got a break. There was not a lot of mommy this, mommy look, mommy, please, 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 please. Mm. They're just so content.
Yeah.
So content. I just know that, you know, we do it on a weekly basis because mostly mama needs a mental break and mental refreshing. But I feel like there's such a shift in at least my children's attitudes when we spend a strong amount of time in nature.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's something that we really, really need to function.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an emotional moment. I think getting to a place where you're not distracted by anything
mm-hmm.
and where you're really able to instantly connect with yourself and with God, there's going to be a moment.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
But we also had some delicious donuts.
Hey.
Oh, my God.
Hey.
Oh, my God. That's donuts are part of nature.
Well, yeah, they are part of nature, especially because where we go, they are very famous for apple orchards. And especially in the fall time, they have apple cider. And, of course, you can pick the apples. And so these are special apple cider donuts from one of the particular farms. And they are so good.
Fresh, might we add.
Yes, they made them right there and sprinkled on some cinnamon sugar. And, oh, my goodness, all the children love them. And, of course, all the mamas love them. I think this mama over here loved them a little too much. But that is one of the traditions. We don't get them every single time, but especially when we go with friends.
Yeah.
Going for the first time, we love to introduce them to the apple cider donuts.
Yeah.
So delicious.
Yes, thank you.
Mm, our pleasure. Anyways, thanks
I'm
for coming.
I'm more excited about the donuts than the nature. No, no. Actually, I love the nature. And
equally
the donuts were
much.
Like, well, the donuts were like the cinnamon and sugar.
Yes. Yeah, the sprinkles on top.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Well, speaking about things that speak to our spirit, today in our Queen's Chambers, we're going to have a conversation about non-negotiables. We're going to speak about non-negotiables and things that are necessary to help us function in our best selves.
Yes, I mean, I'm really excited about this because we have come full circle from that first episode when we talked about how to think like a queen. And I feel like, and we didn't do this on purpose, right? We didn't plan this.
No,
we really
wanted to. It was so hard.
We tried to sit down and have the whole shebangity bang planned out in advance, but it just didn't work like that. And we would get together weekly to say, hey, what are we going to talk about this week?
Mm-hmm.
And it just so happened that now we're really, really back to the beginning of getting back to yourself. And in these last episodes that have been talking about emotional abuse and pampering yourself and vaginal care, it all comes back to yourself
mm-hmm.
coming home.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I think it made it extra clear in our last episode of being in a healthy relationship, what those tenets look like. But you can't be in a healthy relationship
right.
if you're not healthy yourself.
Right. Absolutely.
As we wrap up our first season.
Yes.
This is going to be our last episode for 3 weeks and we'll be back in July. can't believe that. Yes. But we want you to join us in our conversation in the Queen's Chambers about, we'll talk about what's a non-negotiable for us, but also start tapping into what are non-negotiables for you. What might that look like, cuties? What is it that you need outside of the basics, the food, the water, the rest, that you really need to feel at your highest functioning self? Yes. So come on over to the Queen's Chambers.
So welcome to the Queen's Chambers, ladies. These type of episodes where we talk about self-care, self-love, self is near and dear to my heart. Mm-hmm. Because that's what I believe my purpose is, helping people heal the self. And that's what my business has become about. And that's what I'm doing right now in my own personal life, mm-hmm. is self care all the time.
Yes.
And I feel like that word, as you mentioned, Deidre, is like beating people over the head with it. Self care.
I kind of feel like we're getting a little desensitized.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this is not about how to run an amazing salt water bath with the Epsom salts and with rose petals. This is about what must we do every day to be our best selves.
Yes.
I think that when we take a look at relationships, we have to look at ourselves, our own relationship with ourselves and God. And mm-hmm. I feel like that's what all this is about. Whatever other relationship you have, whether it be business or whether it be romantic or even friendships, all of those relationships just mirror back to you what you need.
Right.
To work on yourself. And that kind of speaks to the little quote that I read last week of life just continues to mirror to you what needs to be fixed, what needs to be fixed. So let's get into it. Let's fix it. What are our non-negotiables and what are yours?
Yeah, so I can start out a long time ago. Well, maybe not that long ago, maybe 2 or 3 years ago. That was a challenge to me with one of the practitioners I worked with to kind of get in a better space. And so she challenged me, what are the things that you need in order to survive? What are those non-negotiables? And it took me a long time to come to a list that felt right and felt comfortable to me. And I think the reason it took so long is because I could see all these deficits. Mm. Well, I really like this and I know how it can pour into me, but I'm not doing that. Or I'm not even sure how to even approach this, or I'm not even sure that I have the courage to ask for this in my life because I'm not worthy, or I'm not whatever, because I wasn't in a very healthy mindset in that time in my life, or I felt like I don't deserve that, or, you know, that's too lavish.
Mm-hmm.
But she encouraged me, gently prodded me to put down all of the things that I felt like I needed to be my most healthy self. And it has been a process working my way towards accomplishing my list, or not accomplishing it, because these are not boxes I tick.
Mm-hmm.
If I tick these boxes, I have to tick them almost on a daily basis or on a weekly basis on a regular schedule, because it's just like we don't eat one meal for the rest of our lives.
Right? Yeah.
It's not like I take one shower for the week. You have to constantly maintain this in order to be your best self in any given moment.
Yeah.
My list started out with the basics, you know, eating healthy food, which technically, to be 1000% honest, I have my good weeks and my bad weeks.
Yeah.
And this week is a bad week, really. You know, I ascribe to the adage, always do your best. And I think that sometimes doing our best is not 100% of the time. I'm sorry, it's not always 100% depending on where you might be in your life or in your mental status. But if you're doing your best, maybe your best is 57%. Mm-hmm. Maybe my best this week was like 78%.
Yeah.
Where I had some meals that were not in my best interest and then some meals that were. But when I am consistently eating a great and healthy diet, it feels like I have clarity in my mind.
Yeah.
A lot more patience with my kids.
Yeah.
But that's definitely something that's important to me. But outside of that physical space, and I know I talked a little bit about the pampering, having my toes done, my hair cut, my eyebrows done, something that, and I've already mentioned this on the show too, that really helps to connect my spiritual, mental, and physical life and really bring it into one is yoga. And I harp on it. I know I speak a lot to yoga, but for me, yoga has been a place where I have found acceptance in my body, found openness and connection with God, and a place where I really feel like I experienced joy for the first time in its purest form, and obviously get physically strong. As part of my practice last year, I went to a yoga teacher training, which is like 200 hours worth of yoga, and wanting to know and deepen the practice, hopefully with the intention to teach, which I haven't done yet, but, you know, maybe one of these days. Oh, gosh.
But tell the people why I'm doing that.
My sweet, beautiful friend, Janisha, who has a deep passion to help and motivate others, has used her passion to help motivate me.
Y'all can't see me laughing because she's trying to be so nice about it, about introducing this. You know, it's okay. Yeah, go ahead.
No, so, but even, you know, little offshoot, but also kind of within this non-negotiable, is creating space for me to consistently set intentions for myself.
Yeah.
In my daily, my weekly practice of like journaling and, you know, using writing to connect again with my spirituality, but also with gratitude and whatever. And really, let me just put it out there. On Monday of this week, as I was looking over the things that I wanted to accomplish for this week, it started out with wanting to create a playlist for my own personal practice. But then I also put in parentheses. I just felt maybe
your
I was
own personal yoga practice,
like, you know, the what, like my own home practice, like here.
Oh, okay, mm-hmm. Okay.
So I creating a playlist for that because I go to classes. I love going to the studio. I love practicing with a teacher. But I go to a studio where, let's just say, their music tastes aren't my music tastes, and so I said, oh, I'm going to make a playlist called Yoga I Want to Hear. And then in parentheses, and I put in a little parentheses that says, and want to teach. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, huh. So I put that out there. Monday, I was in a staff meeting at my job on Tuesday, the very next day. Blew my mind when it happened because I couldn't remember. I knew I had put a little intention out there, but I couldn't remember where and in what space. On Tuesday, sitting in my staff meeting, a mere 24 hours later, and my boss is like, so we'd like to add a yoga class on Mondays. Do you want to teach that? Because I know you're certified in that. I'm like, what?
Ha, ha, ha. See how God is always creating opportunity for you to stretch your wings, to, you know, practice your gift. And now that fear is coming up. Yes. Okay, so what did you tell this man?
I told my boss I would teach it. I teach another class once a month on Mondays, but I can do the other 3 Mondays. And then I have a colleague who could teach on the Monday that I'm not available. And I'm like, this is why it's a non-negotiable for me to put my intentions out there.
I really like that.
To state them, to write them down, because I feel like when I set that intention, I thought, oh, yeah, maybe down in the future, whatever. Or maybe, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. Even though I know that I've prepared myself in a way to be ready to teach this class, right? I've done the training. I practice yoga, whatever. It's a prenatal yoga class, which is kind of cool. I like to work with pregnant people. I didn't know how that was going to come into fruition. But it's something that I've wanted to do because I have the skill. I don't want to lose it. And then God's like, hey, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. This is for you.
Yeah.
I'm just like, damn, that was fast. Look at that. Okay. So I guess I'm teaching yoga as soon as I can work out my other schedule. But that's not going to be difficult. Just like an email with the other teachers that I teach with. So practicing yoga is a non-negotiable. And I've kind of worked out with my schedule where 1 week I do the majority of my classes in studio. And then the other week I do a home practice because of the rhythm of my schedule right now. And that has been working for me for the last little while, and I've been enjoying that and gaining confidence again to build so that I could teach. You know, it's been a while since I've done my training, but I know that I have the ability to do that. So so it's practicing yoga, setting intentions on a regular basis. Again, something that I think is a non-negotiable for me, because when I write that down, even if I don't know how it's going to come into fruition, because I consciously said, yes, I want this, that I think I'm more aware and attuned to those opportunities out there. Right. I can hear them and receive them in a way that I may not have if I hadn't already made the intention prior.
Yeah.
So those two things, something else that's a non-negotiable for me is, how do I put it? I got on my list originally was spending intentional time with a community that's going to raise me up, build me up.
Your tribe.
My tribe, kind of. Except, so in my mind, it'd be like, oh, a community of people when I first dreamed it, a community of people where everybody knows each other, we're all leaning into each other, we're all, you know, supporting each other. But I started getting discouraged when it wasn't turning out like that.
Yeah.
When it wasn't matching that picture. I come from a community, well, I was raised in a church community where I would go to school with these kids every day and then see them at church on the weekend. And everybody's parents knew each other and everybody kind of, you know, it wasn't like, I know, maybe in my childlike perception, it wasn't, nobody was being nosy or whatever. It probably was, but who knows, you know, everybody just knew each other and it all felt safe. It all felt like an extended family.
Right.
And so where I am, I would love to create that kind of environment for my children, but perhaps it's the way that I move in this world. Perhaps it's the community that we live in. I don't have a lot of crossover. I know this person over here for this. I know this person over here for this. I know this person over here for this. But they don't know each other and they don't interact with one another. So I feel like I'm giving myself a time to connect with these people. But like in my idea to be like, it's like a small group that meets on a regular basis where you're building trust and you're building, establishing a safe space to be vulnerable. And then we're all supporting one another. And maybe this week we're helping Susie and that week we're helping Jane. And this week we're rallying around me. I don't have that particular. So it doesn't match that picture. But I have a lot of intentional women in my life who consistently check in with me. I could check in with them even if we all don't know each other.
Yeah.
So I feel like that needs being met. It's just I had to open my perspective in order to see and understand that.
And I think you can have that eventually because I feel the same way. Like I've always had that type of those types of friendships where my friends are not friends.
Yes.
And so it does kind of suck sometimes. Then when you try to have like a birthday party, it's like, well, it's kind of awkward because
nobody knows each
other. I know each other. I know everybody, but not everybody knows each other. And that would be nice for us to all be a group like Samantha, Carrie, you know. I can't remember all the names.
Sex and the City ladies.
Yeah. And have that. But that doesn't always happen. And I think that it's good that you recognized that, hey, this need is being met, but not in the package that I thought that it was.
It took me a long time.
But you can still keep striving towards actually having that, you know, physical community where we're all friends. Because I believe that there's benefit in what you're doing, but there's also benefit in that other way where you were raised.
Exactly. Oh, you know? Definitely.
So keep pressing. Keep setting your attention for that.
I really have. And yeah, right now, to be with 100% honesty, I have reached out to 6 or 7 women to start a group.
Yeah.
And they've all verbally committed, but we just can't get it together, you know. Life is busy. When are we going to meet? How's it going to look? But, you know, I still believe that it will come just at the right time, just when we're ready.
I feel like that's hard when you try to do that because you got to find somebody who you can all do your life together.
Yeah.
And if you're trying to take time out of your life to create this life, it won't work that way. You know, it has to be somebody that you automatically see all the time and you're around all the time.
Right.
And then
like
you're just
natural, organic-ish.
And because it is really difficult to get, everyone has kids, everyone works, everyone's busy. I know most of my friends are trying to start businesses and they're doing that. So it's like, well, you know, I don't really have time to step away from that to come and hang out with you for an evening. But someone like me and you, why do we see each other so much? Because we're doing this podcast together. Why do we talk so much? And we probably wouldn't be with each other and talk so much if we didn't, even though we love each other.
Right.
So those, you know, creating more connections that way.
Letting it kind of flourish organically.
Yeah, it will happen easier, you know.
Yeah. So those are like my non-negotiables when it comes to what those things I need to live, to breathe, to thrive.
Yeah.
So it's community connection, doing my yoga, and setting regular intentions. And even with that intention setting, I kind of lump that into my spiritual growth practice, where it's, you know, cultivating gratitude. From my spiritual perspective, I come from a Christian background. And so utilizing the Bible, how does that work for me today? And then also worshiping with a regular Christian community as well. So that's really what makes me feel whole, what makes me feel like I'm moving my best self, where I can, if I'm doing those things, I'm able to provide for my children, obviously financially, but also from a more intentional space, a more patient place. I can be more patient and graceful with myself and all my other relationships. I can offer that grace as well.
Yeah.
So Yeah, that's those are some of my non-negotiables, and it did take me a long time to be able to ask for that, especially that community piece. I'm like, oh, I just don't want to bug anybody else. Mm. I don't want anybody to feel like I need them.
Yeah.
But hello, we're humans.
Yeah.
And we were meant to be in relationship. We were meant to be in community. We were never meant to do all of this on our own.
Yeah. We're supposed to be like gorillas and live in little families.
Right.
Like that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I tried to think about this in a way where I wasn't giving you a list of things that I do to make myself feel good, but more of concepts.
Mm-hmm.
My first non-negotiable is being kind to myself.
Yes.
I really don't have a good time with that. And you had to talk me off the ledge yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
My kids go with their dad usually 2 days out of the week. And in those 2 days, I try to bang it out whatever I need to do, whether that be work for my business. Right now I'm taking a class to become a lactation educator counselor. And I just was in a deep depression and just let myself stay in bed for the last 2 days. And I felt terrible because then you have the guilty voice that says, what are you doing? You're supposed to get up. And then I have the voice that's overwhelming me saying, oh my God, I'm not going to be able to do all this work. You have too much work to do. Just chill for a little bit longer. And then distracting myself away from those feelings.
Yeah.
But you kind of helped talk me off the ledge from that. And this morning when I woke up, I went back to my non-negotiable, which is being kind to myself.
Yes, yes.
And giving myself a break mentally, because that battle that goes on in your head of what you should be doing, trying to put all the dots together to make whatever you're working on work, whether it be your business, trying to get promoted at your job, trying to make your relationships work, whether that be romantic or professional, and all of that planning that you do every day with your kids, with everything.
Yeah.
For me, I end up driving myself crazy and end up driving myself to inaction.
Yeah.
To where I've just spent the last week eating crap, being plugged into crap, and I've just wasted all of my time.
Yeah.
And then having to forgive myself and pick myself back up again.
Mm-hmm.
And so giving myself that space to be kind to myself really affects my decisions. Okay, if I'm being kind to myself today, what choice am I going to make?
Right.
And that's going to reach all the areas of my life. I'm not going to be in the boxing ring mentally.
Yeah.
If I'm thinking about being kind to myself, that's going to affect my eating habits.
Yes.
And my exercise habits. If I'm being kind to myself, I'm going to make sure that I'm in a healthy environment. So that means I got to clean up around here. That means I got to get outside in nature and be in a place where I can actually feel the sunlight. I can connect with God. I can connect with my truest feelings. And also meaning I'm unplugging. I'm unplugging from distractions, from things that do not serve me.
Yeah.
Another non-negotiable is similar to you, creating that tribe.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend that her and I started to meet together to business strategize. And her business is like booming, and we'll shout her out in the Queen's Chambers. My friend Jasmine, she's now taking clients, and we're both life coaches.
That's awesome.
And I'm so happy for her, but now she's too busy to have meetings with me. So I'm like, okay, this is like putting a light bulb in my head. I need to get into a community or a cohort that we business strategize together and we talk about and we push each other. Okay, so what are you going to do to get your business going, to move forward? How are you going to attract those clients? Because when I scroll on my Instagram or my Facebook, I always get these invitations to this business strategy, to that business strategy.
Yes.
And then you end up feeling like you need to sign up for everybody's masterclass in order to make it in life. And yeah, that is a way that you can do it. But I don't necessarily want to spend my resources signing up for 10,000 masterclass where I get a piece of the puzzle here and a piece of the puzzle there.
Yeah.
But being able to bounce my ideas off of a few different people, that's got to be my non-negotiable, because I really want to keep this lifestyle where I'm staying home with my kids and my business doesn't turn into my job.
Right.
Creating content that I can, that runs itself.
Yes.
And so I need some people in my life that are going to push me, that are going to bring ideas to the table, and also people who don't feel threatened by what I do. I think the reason Jasmine and I have such a good relationship, and I was telling her this, like, listen, I don't feel threatened by you at all, because we do the same exact thing and probably have similar target audience, but the way you do your thing and the way I do my thing is totally different.
Exactly.
And I can be happy for you, and I'm not threatened by you at all.
Plus, there's so many people to help in our area.
There is. And not only that, we're talking about God here. And the things that he creates are infinite. And so when you're looking at infinity, there's infinite opportunities, there's infinite resources, and there's infinite connections that you can make.
Yeah.
So I just decided that I'm not going to be threatened by what anybody else does.
Uh-huh.
I'm just going to do my thing and be glad when it comes my way.
Yeah.
And be happy for somebody else when it comes their way.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And I feel like it's really that simple for me. I have to be kind to myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have to cut myself a break. And being kind to yourself, it has its rules and its boundaries. You're not just being kind to yourself, giving yourself a chance to take a break.
Right.
Being kind to yourself also means I'm not going to put myself in a predicament. You know, I'm not going to keep putting myself in this same predicament where I end up pulling my hair out because I just didn't do step one and step two.
Right.
Whatever that is for you.
Yeah.
And I want to invite everybody, like, how can you be kind to yourself today?
Mm-hmm.
How can you not put yourself in a predicament or in a conundrum?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I feel like if we're not intentional, and you talked about intentions, like, if we're not intentional about every day, purposeful with everything that we do, then we end up letting life do us.
Exactly.
And we talked about that before.
Yes we did.
We talked about that before. And I want to be the creator. I am the creator in my own life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be two things. Are you going to create chaos? Or are you going to create peace?
Right. Right.
And I want to be peaceful. So on the days when I am kind to myself, I'm setting my intentions, I'm lighting my candles, I'm journaling, I'm going outside, I'm making a plan for what we're going to eat for the day in the house, I'm connecting with people online to promote my business, I'm handling my business that I need to handle.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I think that's such a strong space to move from when you are, it's just like that whole picture, I feel like I got a picture in my mind. And when you're doing that for yourself, everybody can reap those positive consequences.
Yeah.
You know, the children can reap those positive consequences. The people that you encounter or you work with are reaping those positive consequences because you are moving with, like the word that's coming to my mind is like the single-minded focus, but it's not single-minded because you are taking care of you. I guess it's single-minded because you're doing this for you. But you're able to move more mindfully in all of those spaces and check yourself. If you're being kind to you, then you'll most likely be kind to your kids. You'll most likely have a little bit more grace for the project that you're working on or the team that you're working with. If you can and move within your non-negotiables, I guess.
And let me just say this, Deidre. I feel like we need to address this.
Yes.
Because you have to give yourself permission to take care of yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
I believe that through the years, the way that society has played this out, for those that watch Grey's Anatomy, the last episode before this season 14 closed, she's having a conversation with Teddy about how she wants to take a break and how the patriarchal society has taught us that we always have to be busy doing something. And that we have to basically run ourselves to the ground, and that's what gives us our worth. I've got to be a great mom. I've got to be a great boss. I've got to be, you know, physically fit. I've got to do this. And I think I had posted a meme a while ago, and the mom was in the bed, and she was like, I got to wake up on time. I got to do this, and I got to do that. I'll try to find it, and I'll repost it to our Queen Team Instagram page. But she was just saying, and I gotta be nice to people. Like, she was just naming all the stuff that she had to do. And it's like, give yourself permission to have a bad day, to be in your feelings, to be sad, to be angry. Mm-hmm. Give yourself permission to heal. Mm-hmm. Give yourself permission to take a break.
Yeah.
Give yourself permission to try something new. Mm-hmm. To be afraid. Mm-hmm. Give yourself permission to succeed. I think we really have to let go and just give ourselves permission and time.
Yeah.
And that's another one too, that God has been telling me, you have time, you have time, you have time. Mm-hmm. For those that are trying to get pregnant, you have time. For those that are trying to find the right relationship, you have time. For those who are trying to start their business, you have time.
Yeah.
Y'all have time. Let it go. Just keep moving forward. Keep making intentional steps every single day, and you will reach that goal.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Did I just preach? Did I just?
Dun, dun, dun. Yes. Like, yes. I think that's a strong message. That one and the one before, we have all these agreements of what life should look like.
Yeah, talk about the agreements, Deidre.
Right. Well, yes. I want to say all the things about the agreements. But we have these agreements that come to us through our social conditioning, agreements we've made as a child. When you see certain things, when I grow up, I'm not gonna, or when I grow up, I'm gonna. Mm-hmm. And we are trying, then we let our lives get dictated by these things that we made at a time where we had no idea what life really had to offer. And we have this huge, like I like to think of them as like all this luggage, all these suitcases that you're dragging around that we may not have taken time to examine. Is this really mine? Is this something that I really believe now? Does this really fit my life through my adult lens? And I was thinking whether or not to bring it up, but I'm going to bring it up. There's this book by Don Miguel Ruiz. Yeah,
I was going to say, bring it up. We got to talk about the four agreements.
We got to. And he wrote this book some time ago from the Toltec wisdom philosophy called The Four Agreements. And he's done a lot of writing about, there's another book called The Mastery of Love, and there's another one called The Fifth Agreement. But basically, in the book, he talks about how we get all of these agreements and we run our lives by these rules that we probably have not taken the time to examine them all. If we live our lives through the lens of these four tenets or four agreements, we can experience a little bit more freedom in our lives.
Yeah. I pulled up the four agreements, and this is just a very small snippet of what they are.
But these are the topics of each of the chapters that he goes into. But they're so powerful. So simple.
Simple.
It's so powerful.
Yes. Yes. And I have, last year I had two words that I live my life by, which was grace and mercy in 17. And I got it. I received so much grace and mercy when it came to, you know, going through a divorce, when it came to trying to finish school, everything that I did, I got so much grace and mercy. But this year, it was simple and easy.
Yes.
I was like, I want my life to be simple and easy. And so these being really simple, number one, it says, be impeccable with your word. And this means to speak with integrity, say only what you mean, avoid using the word to speak against yourself or gossip against others, and use the power of your word in the direction of truth and love.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And so simply and succinctly stated.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's hard to do. Like, we feel like we should say yes to this because it could hurt somebody else's feelings, or we don't want to offend this person, even though maybe that's not how we're feeling in the moment.
Yeah.
Or we know clearly that we're supposed to say no.
Yeah. You have the right to change your mind too.
Definitely.
I said yes, but I'm changing my mind.
Yes, definitely. But really telling the truth about where you are, where you stand, how you feel, and knowing that that's going to affect you. Like, he goes into the chapter, he talks about the beginning of all things starts with the word.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just speaking the word. I mean, of course, we have the example from the Judeo-Christian perspective within the Bible. Like, God said, let there be light. And then there was light.
Yeah. Okay.
But even with that example, the word is very powerful. But we can say, this is how this began. You and I began. We had a conversation and said, hey, I want to start a podcast.
Yeah.
If I didn't put it out there, this would not be in existence. We wouldn't be 15 episodes deep at the end of our first season.
Woo-hoo.
Hey. But it all started with speaking that into existence, with setting that intention out there, and then using our actions to follow through. And that's how the impeccability comes forth, by following through with what you say you're going to do.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So number two is don't take anything personally.
Oh, that's hard.
I know, right? But no, sometimes it's not that hard though.
Not always.
It's just like a switch that you have to turn on in your mind.
Yeah.
I'm going to look at this differently. I'm going to change my perspective. Mm-hmm. So this means nothing others do is because of you. What others say and do is to project their own reality, their own dream. And three, when you are...
Are you about to move into number three?
No, I'm going to finish.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. And number three, when you are immune to the opinions and actions of others, you won't be the victim of needless suffering.
When I read this, because I read this book for the first time about 6 years ago. No, longer than that, maybe 8 years ago. And I've read it several times since. And I think it was easier for me to understand that when people speak ill against me or to me, that it's not my problem, it's their problem. It's just a reflection of what's going on in their soul.
Yeah.
I think something that I had a harder time understanding when it came to don't take things personally is even the praise and the adoration others give you. Because, of course, we like to feel good and we want to know that we were of value to someone else. But it really took a lot of time, and I still have to do this depending on who is giving some of this praise and adoration. Like if it's my mentors or if it's people that I admire and look up to, I'm like, ooh, they see me, they hear me.
Yeah.
But not taking it personally means that you're not deriving value.
Say that, sis. Yes. Say it again.
Like not taking those things, that adoration and praise, personally means that you're not deriving value about yourself.
Wow.
From those comments and that perspective. Again, yes. It's just a reflection of how what you did touched them and how it made them feel. But it has nothing to do with who you truly are. Yes.
Oh, this is good.
And I don't know because I'm just like, I'm so glad you thought I did a great job because that was validation for me. But even that validation doesn't necessarily mean that's who I truly am inside. Yeah. That's not necessarily where my value should come from. When we use others' praise, we're only living from comment to comment to comment to comment. Yeah. We can never be satiated or fulfilled.
Yes.
And it goes back to being a healthy person so that we can be in a healthy relationship. But knowing that regardless of what anybody says of me, that the truth is, I am worthy. I am incredible just because I live and I breathe and I share air in this world. And I feel like that was hard for me. It's still hard for me, like I said, depending on where it's coming from.
Yeah.
And who is bringing it. But
I think that's good, Deidre, because you have the formula, right? Mm-hmm. And so now all you have to do is catch yourself.
Yes.
Then forgive yourself and start afresh.
Right.
And conversely, the opposite is also true. Mm-hmm. If somebody says something bad to you, if somebody says something mean to you or talks about you, that's also not true. And that's also not where you derive your worth.
Exactly.
And that was something that I had to get over coming out of this abusive relationship.
Right.
And even when those triggers would come up again, I'm out shopping and looking at clothes and I see something bright and I'm like, oh, he wouldn't like that. And then I had to stop myself. Nope. It doesn't matter what he would like.
Exactly.
He's not here anymore.
Yeah.
What he wants doesn't matter. And what anybody wants doesn't matter. What do I like?
Exactly.
What would make me feel my best?
Mm-hmm.
And so I love that you brought it with the positive, because so much times we don't think about that. We only think about how to keep away negativity.
Right.
But sometimes positivity, you can derive your worth from wanting too much positive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, really profound. Yeah. I love that you shared that. Yeah. Thank you.
No, you're welcome.
So moving on to the third agreement, don't make assumptions. And so for not making assumptions, you need to, number one, find the courage to ask questions and to express what you really want. Number two, communicate with others as clearly as you can to avoid misunderstanding, sadness, and drama. And number three, with just one agreement, you can completely transform your life. Oh, I'm sorry. Number three, with this one agreement, you can completely transform your life.
That's something I feel like I'm teaching my children now.
Yeah.
Like, So, for example, I said this, my five-year-old, he's so, so D-A-M-N smart. Mm-hmm. So we will, they like to drink tea sometimes in the morning. And so they're, you know, they have their favorite teas or whatever. And so I'm like, hey, so what would you like? And he'll be like, well, you know what I want, Mama. And I'm like, you know, I'm not going to make an assumption about what you want. Mm-hmm. So we talked about what assumptions are. We've had several conversations about assumptions. And so a couple weeks ago, he came to me. He's like, I'm not sure if I like our babysitter. Why don't you like the babysitter? She makes too many assumptions about my actions. Like, tell me, give me an example. Because I'm just like, do you really understand?
You need to sit down.
Right? So, do you really understand? Well, the other day, my big sister was going to the restroom. And I told her I had to go to the restroom too. And she said, no, you just want to be with your sister. And she made an assumption. I'm like,
ooh, he do know. He do know you about a backup babysitter.
What? Okay. You know what you're talking about.
Your boy has been here before and before and before and before. It's all right. It's all right.
So I'm just like, this is, if a five-year-old can get this.
Yes.
Okay. If right. A five-year-old can understand this. I kind of think that adults can get this too. Let's not make assumptions. And so in our family, we're constantly saying, how can we be more clear? How can we avoid some of these assumptions?
Yeah.
And this reminds me of the interview we had with Sandra when it goes back to taking accountability and being responsible for the actions. I can't remember if it was accountability or support, where, you know, we had that example of the couple that she was talking about, where this wife wanted, you know, had to drive to LA, and the husband kept on leaving the car with little gas. And so mm-hmm. she made the assumption that he would obviously get that, I have to go to LA, you should fill up the car after you use it.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't.
Yeah.
You know, it just wasn't on his radar.
Yeah.
And she made this assumption. And like, how much drama could have been avoided if we just asked questions and got very clear about what the intentions are without taking it personally.
Right.
And then being impeccable with what we were saying in the most kind and loving way possible.
Right.
So I feel like it's so, so simple. But we think, oh, if they love me, they'll know.
Mm-hmm.
Or, but we've had gone over this so many times before, they'll know.
Mm-hmm.
No, let's not make the assumption that they know this, because, you know, as much as cool as we are, nobody's a mind reader here. We are, even though the divine lives within us, doesn't mean we are divinity, you know? So it's, I feel it's, again, easy to do, easy to say, sorry, sometimes hard to practice, because we're sometimes all up in our feelings. We can take away a personal perspective about it, or personal feelings about it, or take it personally when we assume that people should know this or should know that.
Right. Yeah. And I feel like too, going a little bit back to last week's conversation about relationships, if you have had that impeccable word conversation and you've communicated your needs to somebody and they have given you their impeccable word that they would follow it, but they don't, then that's when you have a decision to make.
Yes.
But give that give yourself a chance. Number one, be honest with yourself about how you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, once you go to that person and say, hey, I need this, and they agree, then that doesn't, what you agreed upon doesn't happen. You've already set the tone for being able to walk away scot-free without any guilt. And I'm not necessarily saying leave the relationship, but change how you deal.
Right.
So if she knows that she keeps talking to her husband and says, hey, you need to put the gas in after you use the car. All right, well, you keep getting in the car and not getting the gas in. Then you need to solve your own problem.
Mm-hmm.
Get your butt up a little bit earlier
and
go get your gas yourself, since you know this is not something he's going to do. Then comes acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this isn't going to happen right now. I still want to deal with this person, so how can I not be upset?
Exactly.
How can I not be upset?
What can I do?
What can I do? Mm-hmm. And so I feel like at the end of the day, all of this stuff that we're learning always comes back to you. Come home.
Oh, yeah.
Come home. Well, come home.
Here's the
Keep
thing.
Keep coming home to yourself.
There's only one person that you have control over.
Yes.
One person.
Yes.
And it's so easy to look externally and say, well, this person isn't doing that, or this kid isn't behaving like this, or, oh, they should know that. But there's only one person you can control. And again, it goes back to taking personal responsibility for you, for your actions, for what you are doing. You know, there's tons of like catchphrases out there. You are the creator of your own destiny, and you are in charge of your own happiness. It's kind of true.
Yeah, no, it's not kind of true. It's true.
Yeah.
It's you, baby. You, all day, every day, exactly. It's you. Good, bad, ugly, in between. It's all you, baby.
Yeah.
It's you.
And so even though we may, you know, especially in healthy, encouraging relationships, we're able to prod each other along, the only person who can make that change is the person who has the power to make that change.
Right.
And that's the individual on the personal level.
Absolutely. Yeah. And something else I want to say about assumptions is don't assume certain circumstances before they happen. For example.
Yes.
That's called worry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So for example, I'm dating and I'm thinking about what kind of guy would like me and not like me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to be 100% honest right now. And I have some fears and reservations about certain type of men, like guys who are really, really fit, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, they wouldn't like me because I'm not really, really fit.
Mm-hmm.
Wrong.
Wrong.
That's not necessarily wrong. True. So I just cut myself off from a whole group of people that I could possibly connect with because I'm making this assumption.
Yes.
And maybe they'll find me like super duper attractive and maybe they'll inspire me to make healthier choices.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
again, relationships are about pushing one another to be our best selves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'll inspire them to live a little, have that donut.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And it could be a healthy balance.
Hey, there's more than one way to burn calories.
Yeah, nope. Well, hey. Up in here with it, Deidre. So that assumption, don't assume when you go to apply for that job, I'm not qualified.
Right.
You know, I don't have what it takes or I don't have the life experience. Nobody will buy my product or like what I have to say because I'm not able to, like we talked about last week, pull up to the table, you know, because of our experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Don't assume any of that.
Yeah.
Just whatever you have, put it out there and whoever it's for, they'll get it.
Exactly.
And if it's not for them, if it's not for that guy to date me, he ain't gonna date me.
Right.
No matter what he looks like or what he's gone through mm-hmm. or what he does, his lifestyle.
Exactly.
It's not for me.
Yes.
And whatever job that you apply for, if you don't get that job, but you put it out there, then it just wasn't for you. But there is something else out there that mm-hmm. is.
Exactly.
You know, whatever people buy your products or services, you know what I'm saying? Same mm-hmm. thing. So that last agreement is always do your best.
Dum, dum, dum.
And always let your conscience be your guide. So number four, always do your best has two
tenets.
Sure. I like mm-hmm. that. Number one, your best is going to change from moment to moment. And that's what you were saying earlier about mm-hmm. this. Sometimes you're at 57, sometimes you're at 80.
Mm-hmm.
And I follow a woman on YouTube and she is an organizer / cleaning YouTuber. So she teaches you how to organize, how to keep your house clean, how to get your life in your house.
Yes.
And so she's like, I try to do 80% of the things that I have on my to-do list 80% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, because I don't want to be obsessing over this. She has two really small kids. I think her oldest is maybe 3 or 4.
Oh, wow.
And a little baby. So she's like, I'm busy taking care of my kids.
Yes.
And I don't want to have to be so obsessed with the house being perfect and everything getting done. So that kind of speaks to that. So let me read it again. So number one, your best is going to change from moment to moment. It will be different when you're healthy as opposed to sick. And I believe that's mentally too.
Oh, definitely.
Not just physically.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And number two, under any circumstances, simply do your best and you will avoid self-judgment, self-abuse, and regret. Woo. This is so strong.
So strong.
This is just...
Oh,
this is just.
This is why I've had to read this book several times. I read it like every other year, because I need to bring these tenets back into focus, because I really want to adopt these four agreements and utilize them in the way in all of the areas of my life, because they're so powerful.
Right.
I was blown away by how easy the book was to read, and we'll link to it in the show notes. But I really had to take. Mondo amounts, especially the very first time I read it, Mondo amounts of time being able to process this,
mm-hmm.
assess what it is in some of the guiding principles I had in my life at the time, and how to relinquish those, how to adopt these new ones. But there is a simple practice. Now, the way that I came to this book is through the childbirth philosophy that I was trained in as an educator. And it's called Birthing from Within, also linked to the show notes. I'm super excited because they just relaunched their website. I'll be talking a lot more Birthing from Within in our future episodes for a variety of reasons. Yes. Mm-hmm. But Birthing from Within has as part of their training process to become what they call a childbirth mentor, what others might understand as a childbirth educator, had us read this book to help us examine our own agreements so that if we could learn to treat ourselves with this grace and respect and love, we could help to teach others to do the same for themselves as they enter into the life-changing event of having babies.
Yeah.
So I mentioned that because that's how I understood and learned about this book. Also, there's a practice within Birthing from Within that we use with our parents. Mm-hmm. And it's called a living question. Mm. And I think this is going to be a challenge we can bring to our listeners as well. And this living question is a question or a guiding question that you want to be living your life by on a regular basis. So this question, it would be something that you could ask yourself at any given moment. And it's not going to be a question that could be answered yes or no. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a question, not going to be a question that you can complete with one task and it's done forever. It's a question that you're using to evaluate, where are you right now? Mm. To kind of answer this, am I doing my best? And so depending on the season of my life, my question varies from season to season. And actually, you know, this may be the season to start a new question. But in the past, my question has been something to the effect of, how am I bringing love to this moment? Mm-hmm. And for me, when I say love, again, from my Christian perspective, I believe God is love, and the biblical reference for love is patient, love is kind, and all of the things that it says in this reference in the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We can link that in the show notes too. Got a lot of links. But love is all of these tenets, which I believe if you go to other religions, they're it's such a mirror. But how am I bringing that to this moment? Yeah. In the past is, how am I staying present in this moment? Mm-hmm. How am I caring for myself in this moment?
Yeah.
So again, depending on the season, I am jumping around between some of these questions, but how am I doing it now? How am I doing it now? And basically this question, you live it like you breathe. You know, as you breathe in, you live this. You breathe out, you live this. And so I'm going to challenge our cuties. What might that look like for you? What might that look like for you, Janisha, too? How can we guide ourselves? How am I being kind to myself in this moment? And can it kind of tie back to whatever your non-negotiables are?
Mm-hmm.
But that's been an interesting challenge. And sometimes I'll put it like 12 different post-its all around my house by the kitchen sink and the bathroom and the car by my door as I'm leaving, right above my bed, so I can make sure that I'm living this for real, live and in person. So I think that's another way to evaluate, am I doing my best?
Mm-hmm.
You know, bringing your best at each moment.
And something that comes to mind is the moment, the word moment, this moment, because that's all that there is.
That's all that
there is. The past is already gone, and the future is whatever you choose to do in this moment. That's what your future will be.
Exactly.
So I'm not saying just forget to make plans, because you have to make some type of structure in your life.
Mm-hmm.
But what I am saying is, you're missing it.
Yes.
You're missing it if you're not able to look down in this moment and say, how can I be my best self right this second?
Yes.
So what do I need to stop thinking about? What do I need to start thinking about? What action do I need to take?
Exactly.
Right this second.
Yes.
And if you could just stay there. And every second, that might be, I just need to rest right now.
Exactly.
That may be, I need to put my phone down and pay attention to my kids. That may mean I need to get to the store.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever it is that you need to do in this moment,
and
take a second, pray with yourself, and let God give you the answer. What should I do in this moment?
Yeah.
And asking for help in every single moment.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like that idea, coupled with this living question, it's like there's a verse in the Bible that talks about praying without ceasing.
Yeah. That's all it is. Just keep asking.
Looking for that divine guidance. And really, you don't have to come from the Christian perspective to still move in the space of mindfulness and being present. It's so important to stay focused on this moment because you're right. It's all we have. We can't get caught up in what has already happened or what could happen in the future. Yeah. We don't know. Again, it goes back to making assumptions.
Right. But also to know too, like I said, that your future will be whatever you choose to do, think, feel, and do in this moment.
Exactly.
That will set the stage for your future.
And if you're intentional and impeccable with your word, it's going to be what you want.
It's going to be what you want.
Yeah.
And even if you don't think it's what you want, you'll be able to see hindsight. Like looking back, no, I did not want that marriage.
Exactly.
Yeah. I did not want that marriage, but I do want to be free. And that's what I have now.
Exactly.
So if that's what had to happen for me to be free, and I don't believe that's what had to happen, but that's what happened for me to be free, then so be it. And thank you for the experience, God. I forgive myself. I forgive him. I love him. I love me. And we're moving on.
Yeah.
And that's it. And that's being kind to yourself. I forgive myself. I forgive him. And I'm thankful.
Yes.
And we're done.
Strong word.
Yeah.
So cuties, we want to hear from you. What might your non-negotiables look like? What are some of the agreements that you need to relinquish and new ones that you may be taking on? We cannot wait to hear how this is impacting your journey.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us in the Queen's Chambers. It's time for the queen scene.
Queen scene.
Queen scene. So who is your queen scene pick this week, Janisha?
My dear friend, Jasmine I. Harris.
Hey, Jasmine.
I just want to congratulate you on, following your dreams and being so inspirational. I'm definitely inspired by you. Mm-hmm. And Jasmine is a life coach. And she focuses on two areas, personal growth and career advancement.
Nice.
Her services that she offers include personal development, self-improvement, purpose building, career discovery, career advancement, group sessions, daily check-ins, and journaling prompts. And she has not formally coached me. Just being with her is inspirational. She's going to pick your brain and find out what it is that you need to do. Get down to the core of the change that you need to make. Mm-hmm. And she's helped me advance my own career and my own personal development just by her being in my life and being my friend.
Amazing.
And so that's just something that she does naturally and organically. Mm-hmm. Her website is jasmineiharris.com. She is also on Instagram and Facebook. And if you go to her website, jasmineiharris.com, there is links to her other social media platforms. And she's also on Snapchat.
Awesome.
So we'll leave it all linked below, of course.
Yes, of course, as we do.
Yes.
And so my queen scene pick this week is Dr. Zipe Nuve. And she actually happens to be my neighbor, and I'm so proud of her. She just graduated from medical school and has a residency in surgery.
Wow.
And I want to shout her out because I was having a conversation with my daughter this week or the week before, and she's like, oh, when I think of doctors, I think of men. I know her uncle is a doctor, and she thinks that's, where she got that association. And I'm like, that's a fair assumption. But I want to be able to show my daughters, mm-hmm. these strong Black women who are coming up, mm-hmm. going out there, going to medical school, becoming doctors. And I feel really privileged to count Dr. Zipe as one of our friend and a personal friend of our families. But I count her among a number of other young Black female doctors in our community.
Yeah.
And I'm so proud of her for all the hard work she does. In addition to actually graduating with this incredible degree, she has such a caring, warm spirit, very bubbly, good bedside manner. She's going to be incredible at what she does.
Yeah.
So incredible. And I could not be more proud of her. She is also one half of God, Love, and Sex.
Yes.
And hopefully we'll link them as soon as they come out. She works with Sandra, our guest from last week. And they are co-hosts of the YouTube channel that will be coming out shortly, discussing all things that have to do with God, love, and sex.
Yes.
But congratulations, Zipe. Again, I could not be prouder of you. I'm so honored to call you my friend. And it's been an incredible experience encouraging along on this journey as yes. well. So, cuties, we're wrapping up our first season ever of the Queen Team podcast. You know where to find us, the Queen Team Podcast on Instagram. You can find us on our website at thequeenteampodcast.com. And please drop us a line if you have any questions, comments, or want to continue interacting at thequeenteampodcast@gmail.com. You'll see us sporadically posting on Instagram during our hiatus or during our time in between our seasons. We cannot wait to come back refreshed and renewed and pouring into ourselves and pouring into our planning for the season that's going to start in July.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you can find me at Love to Be You on Instagram, and that's spelled LUVTOBEYOU. The same handle on YouTube. Send me an email at lovetobeyou@gmail.com. And again, I have a support group for women who are experiencing emotional abusive relationships, going through a divorce or a difficult breakup. So email me if you want to be a part of that group as well. We love you guys. Bye, cuties.
Bye, cuties.